4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
I'm Raz.
And I'm Louis.
And we're on a mission to find the best episodes of comedy shows of all time.
Some mainstream and some you may not have heard of. We're going to find the best, put it in our comedy archive.
This is Raz and Louis' Comedy Classics.
Alrighty then. I'm really looking forward to this one, dude.
Me too.
I've been looking forward to it all week.
I know.
Normally I look forward to it, but this is, I don't know, like...
Pretty
I just
excited,
can't stop thinking
it?
About it. And I've also been thinking about the complications with it. For example...
Go on.
I don't know, like... Last week I said that it's aged well. I was talking about the humour. But has the sort of, like, African representation aged well? I'm sure it's fine, and no matter what, it's going to be a funny movie. But I've in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, he literally has spears chucked at him. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, don't. You're effectively calling Africans spear chuckers. But obviously, it's not representing Africa. It's representing sort of untouched,
a particular, yeah,
untouched civilization.
Like, well,
not
tribe,
untouched,
it, yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, non-Westernized, we'll say, or whatever.
Well, and, you know, the whole concept of guano being the main economy and it's a billion-dollar industry, and they kind of tied it in well with that, and obviously...
The white Simon Callow is the bad guy.
Yeah, obviously.
But then is that patronising? Because there's one thing I hate
more than
anything...
I think you're looking into it too.
Yeah,
right?
Possibly, but the thing I hate the most in this world is, do they know it's Christmas?
Thank God it's them, not us. Fucking awful.
I know. It's so
fucking
patronising.
Awful.
I was talking to my manager.
And the thing is, like, there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas. It's like,
I know.
And what, that's their biggest issue? Their biggest problem?
But also, Mount Kilimanjaro. There's going to be snow on Mount Kilimanjaro.
But it's just
fucking
a horrible...
Right.
It's like, they don't celebrate Christmas. So even if they had money, they wouldn't be celebrating.
But they do celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, I know,
Christian...
My point is, that's fine. But they're trying to point out that the poor famine people
are all
desperate and depressed because they can't celebrate Christmas because they don't have money.
But they're uncivilised and don't understand, like, religion, like the great religions that we have.
It's a horrible track.
No, Judaism and Christianity and Islam has been in Africa longer in some cases than it has in the civilised Western world. Sorry, this has got really political really quickly.
Yeah.
But I fucking hate Do They Know It's Christmas. I find it patronising and fucking insulting.
It is really tonight,
thank God it's them instead of you. It's like, no, like, my boss is from Africa and it's like, I spoke to him about it. It's just like, oh, they just like painting a picture that way. I'm like, it's fucking depressing.
It is horrible.
Anyway.
And we're sending our love down a well.
Down a well!
And we're sending our love down a well. All the way down.
Yeah.
It's the way his voice is. Brilliant.
And like that, Sting's involved.
Yeah. It just,
it's brilliant.
Simpsons do that to a T and he goes, so what are we going to do with the money? He goes, well... You know, Kent, the limos ain't back, ain't free. You know, they don't pay for themselves. And, you know, distribution, marketing, whatever's left, we throw down the well.
Brilliant.
It's so good.
And that says it on this.
It says it all.
That was in 92 as well, I think, that episode. So that's around the perfect time. It was 7 years after Band Aid or Live Aid,
yeah.
Which one. And those things were happening on, you know.
Do you
let's
like
get Geldof? No.
Mm.
Give us your fucking money.
I know. That's a really good impression.
Thank you.
That is really good. See, there we have it.
Hey!
Two Zippy.
No, I was going to do George then, but no, George isn't there. Yeah, no, it's Zippy. I'll, you know what? Next week, I will practice
Zippy,
Bungle, and George. I'll,
right.
I'll practice the whole lot, and I guarantee I will smash him for
which
the
one's
park.
George? Is he the human?
No, isn't George the one when you say Zippy? That's like the dumb fucking one. It's the pink...
No. What's the pink thing? I don't even know what that is.
That's the one who says, oh, Zippy.
No, Zippy is... That's me saying Zippy's name as Zippy. Zippy talks like that. The little orange thing with the zip.
I love Zippy so much.
It's Zippy. So good.
I'll go back and rejog my memory. Because
yeah.
That was my favourite thing when I was a proper young kid.
I told you my mum would never watch it. She was like, it's gay. Can't watch it.
It's gay.
Yeah, to a toddler.
Fucking hell.
And now, I used to be like, I don't know what that means.
No wonder you've turned out so politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Talking of which, Anthony Jeselnik has announced the world tour. I don't know if you know Anthony Jeselnik. He's a comedian, really good comedian.
Yeah.
He's like Frankie Boyle, but a little bit more on PC. Okay. No, he's worse.
Okay.
Some of his jokes are, I'm just going, I'm not sure I should be laughing at this, because that is a bit much.
Brilliant.
Joking about Eric Clapton's dead son, for example.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty... Fuck. It's not... It ain't fucking...
Sarah McMillan.
Peter Kay.
Yeah.
Sarah McMillan.
Yeah.
Sarah Millican.
Is... Okay.
Close enough.
Close enough. I get a point.
Yeah. She wears glasses. It's not that. But she jokes about chocolate oranges.
Yeah.
Bannon fancies her.
Really?
More than anyone on this earth. And I'm not joking. Really? No, I used to do a little like thing with Bannon where it's like a knockout thing. Who would you rather be with? Tina Fey... Melissa Joan Hart.
Sabrina.
Yeah. Brilliant. So like, I'd do this and we'd find out who he fancied, yeah, and it was normally Tina Fey. However,
not the girl from Juno.
Ellen Page, yeah, Ellen Page and Tina Fey. Oh, okay. That was who it would usually be between. And then Sarah Millican come along. And I'm no disrespect to her. I don't think she's a great comedian, but I'm sure she's a lovely person. But she's basically a Geordie or
Tart.
North East frumpy housewife. No offence to her, I'm sorry, but she's not the sort of patry stunner that you'd expect Bannon to be infatuated with.
Oh, okay.
So when he says, no, I don't want Tina Fey, I don't want Ellen Page, I don't want any fucking, I don't know, sexy goth model or something that you'd think that he'd be after, it's the fucking frumpy Sarah Millican, which is cute.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though.
Part of me thinks that he only says that because he feels like he's more likely to be able to finger her one day.
That's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I'm sorry. But, I mean, good on you, Steve. I'd say go for it. I don't know. Is she married?
She's married, yeah. Oh,
okay, well, don't go for it then.
Recently as well, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, you're definitely mate. Out of luck. Sorry, mate. I heard the lady from EastEnders is free now. What's her name?
I don't know. Which one?
Heather.
Oh, fuck it. You know what?
She was my favourite character from the show.
Genuinely.
She's really cool.
She used to be married.
Oh, God, then. To the sausage roll bit.
To Warriors, mate. Genuinely, Warrior's mate
really?
Was married to her.
That's pretty cool. She was the best character in EastEnders, in my
opinion. Yeah, totally.
I thought she was really good.
Pork pie, sausage roll.
Don't mind if I do.
Pork pie, sausage roll. We love a good Phil Mitchell remix.
We do,
we?
Yeah. Utter filth.
I think there's a couple more that we need to catch
Hello?
Up.
Hello?
When he's walking and they've added squelching noises. Hey, what's the socks? You got odd socks on. You got Hulk
I
and
do.
You've got...
A Puma.
Humour.
Yeah, supporting Black Panther.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, good one.
No, I want to say something. So, this, I was just randomly thinking, right? Do people still do the conga at parties anymore?
That's a good point, you know.
And can I ask...
Is this you doing observational comedy?
No, this is me doing it.
Back in the day, right? Back in the day, you used to see that people doing the conga. You never see it anymore, do you? Where's the conga gone?
That's a brilliant impression of Reese Shearsmith.
Oh, I wasn't going for that.
It's really good, really good. I can't understand the concept of why people used to do the conga.
Well, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? I completely agree. Yeah. It's stupid. No, but the worst one is that conga that they do sitting down.
Oops, upside your head.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. And they tap the floor.
Yeah.
Well, right.
What's that?
I don't know.
I like the sitting down part.
Right, so imagine New Year's. Imagine if we just start. Would you have got up and done the conga if we all started doing it? Like if Chels did it,
no.
Mel did it, Lauren
no,
did it,
no.
Lee did it. Would you get up and do
well,
it?
Well, no, I say that, but then when I get drunk, I'm normally dancing all the time.
Can we start it off at someone's wedding next? If we go to another wedding, can we do it?
We're doing it ironically.
Yeah, well, I just don't get it. Like, imagine it happen. Would it happen in a club now? Like, imagine in a club, everyone's getting on, and then all of a sudden,
I don't know because I don't go to clubs, but in my head, people in clubs are just there to do coke and finger each other.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry, that's the second time I mentioned fingering today.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
If anybody can give us any feedback, when was the last time they were in a conga line?
Because I've been to a lot of weddings. I mean, I got married myself like a year ago. There was no conga.
No.
We had a belly dancer.
But when I was a kid, people used to do it a lot. And I used
yeah,
to,
I know,
But
totally.
It's a weird thing because it's what adults do as well, isn't it?
The soundtrack, the that the DJs have always play the music that were at parties in the 90s, and that is fucking Suggs Cecilia for no fucking reason.
That is weird.
That's a weird thing, isn't it?
That is a weird thing.
And the Birdie Song or Chicken Dance or whatever the fuck
it is. I love the one from
oh, I bet it's St. John.
Psycho Thrill, the Spray.
Dude, they have a kids party at my work every year where the staff bring their kids song. In and they played it, and I'm just thinking of them in Psychoville dancing with the corpse.
That's horrible.
It's horrible. I can't listen to that. I'm looking at kids dancing around at the time, and I'm thinking,
had to ride,
and I'm just thinking,
Superman,
these kids are dancing, but I'm thinking of a dead body.
But it's weird again, like, who come up with the idea of that song, and where did I know.
Fucking hate that Star Trek song.
Star Trek it across the universe, it's terrible. It's
I mean, for a start, fucking awful. You're rhyming universe with Captain Kirk. Even Eminem wouldn't stoop to that.
They rhyme universe with reverse as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Reverse, fucking awful.
Yeah.
What other party songs were there?
Oh, fuck me, Ras. Are we doing this? Oh, we got great feedback from Lee, by the way.
Go on.
He said that... oh, yeah. UT... Oh, right. This is fucking brilliant. Oh, my God. So, last week, you were talking about Lee's love for Police Academy. Little did I know... Lee fucking hates Police Academy. I thought something was off when you were saying it. He fucking hates Police Academy with a passion.
Well.
And I'm just like, oh yeah, carry on, Ras. Tell me more about how Lee loves it. And you're going into detail, and I'm thinking, and I say, you know what? I need to find what he said, because he said something fucking brilliant.
Oh, he said he wants the quote on a T-shirt, doesn't he?
He wants a quote on a T-shirt. Did I send it to you? Because that might be easier.
I think you did. Yeah, let me see if I can do it. So
I may edit this. I probably won't.
What, us going through our phones?
Yeah.
At the same time.
Just talk. Just talk.
Yeah, I am just talking. Right. So, no, I don't think you did. Wait. You must have sent it. Guys, bear with
me. Oh, I got it.
Right.
So, Lee used to rant about Bobcat for ages to Ras.
Yeah, he always used to. Yeah.
Police Academy film. Then I felt bad in case he'd had a stroke or something, as that surely must be what happened. I love how you said, we're not talking about Police Academy. We're just not. That's what I said to you. That needs to be on one of your official T-shirts. So I might have to end up that photoshopping something for the Facebook page and the Instagram. We've got an Instagram, Rassaloobie Comedy.
Yeah.
And we'll put that on a T-shirt. We're not talking about Police Academy. We're just not. I love that. But we are doing a movie today. And what is that movie?
That movie is Ace Ventura 2. Pet Detective.
I love this movie. You know, in like other territories, it was called...
Well, it's not Pet Detective, sorry.
No, it's Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Yeah, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
In other territories, it's called Ace Ventura, The African Adventure.
No.
Or L'Aventure, L'Afrique.
Do you know the... or whatever. What's his name for it? Do you remember all the movies, like, you back in the day, Louis used to know all the movie, like, subtitles. It was like, Die Hard.
Today's, yeah, I was doing this the other
today's
day.
Today's going to Die Harder, or whatever it is.
Jason Takes Manhattan is my new favourite one.
What's that?
That's not Friday the 13th, part 8, I think.
Just go over some quickly.
So...
What are the ones you can remember?
Nightmare on Elm Street, part 3, The Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
That was my normal go-to one. Obviously, Jim used to say Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. He'd say Star Trek 2, Habit, or whatever.
What is it called?
Or he'd go like...
What's it called? It's not called a subtitle. It's called like a movie...
Yeah, I think people say subtitle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because like, obviously, like, Die Hard with Vengeance was a good day to Die Hard or whatever.
It was... They're good ones. They're good ones. Because in America, at least, it's Die Hard. Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Die Hard, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard. But over here, it was Die Hard 4.0. But I love that. Live Free or Die Hard. Yeah. And then A Good Day to Die Hard, which isn't quite... It doesn't work as well, I don't think. And those films can fuck off and die, as far as I'm concerned. Because it's a really good film.
They used to have them on the box a lot, didn't they?
Good film. It's a okay film, and then shit film, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Die Hard is the greatest action film ever made.
Okay. That's a good...
Day to Die Hard.
It is.
Dude, I know this is not good for radio, but can I just... I sent you this before. It's in our little media file between us on our WhatsApp, but can I just show you this picture of the Peaky Blinders fucking...
I know, I saw that on the bed covers. It's ridiculous.
It's fucking brilliant. That is brilliant. We have a good time. And also, I showed you the Chuck Tingle book, Open Wide for the Handsome Sabretoothed Dentist, who is also a ghost.
It's ridiculous.
It's brilliant.
Well, I'm trying to think of the arachnophobia one.
What, the tagline?
Yeah, what's the tagline of arachnophobia?
Terror has eight legs.
Is that it?
I don't know, I just made it up.
That would be really good. That would really be good. So, arachnophobia tagline is... Drum roll, please.
I will tell you the greatest... Hang on.
Where do you even find the tagline?
It's normally on the IMDb.
It's annoying, isn't it?
John Voight.
I know. We've come a long way, haven't we? It doesn't say the tagline on here, but it usually does.
I'll save this bit by saying the greatest tagline of all time was for The Hills Have Eyes, I think.
Oh, go on.
The lucky ones died first.
First, yeah.
I love that tagline. Yeah. I think
that's pretty brutal. That film as well. No, it is. It is.
A fucking great. I haven't seen it because that's Chelsea's bag. I'm not about horror films.
Brutal film.
Right. So what are we doing today?
So back to today's special. So today we're actually doing a movie rather than
a sequel at that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And not many films. We were trying to think of the other day of where a sequel is actually better than the original or holds up as well as the first film.
I think Aliens, but only because they're two completely different films.
Toy Story 2?
No way.
Really?
No way. No way.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
For me personally, yes.
Yeah, me personally as well.
Because I think...
Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, totally.
Jurassic Park 2?
Fuck off. I thought you said you failed, Jim, or whatever the fuck it is. Just quickly, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I honestly think that is the greatest thing that Marvel's ever put out. And I've only seen it once. I've only saw it at the cinema. I need to get it on Blu-ray.
I really love it. I think it's definitely on par with the first one.
It's quite different. It's like the first one was the perfect introduction to these characters. And the second one is like, right, here's the characters. Here's an actual story.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen a sequel where it's like, right, here's what you know about the characters. And we're just going to do a little story that means nothing. Fucking Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. Now, I love that movie. But it does nothing for the arc or the story. No. If you took that out and then just had that and Last Crusade, you'd be like, "What? These are the two greatest films of all time." Temple of Doom, I still love it. I think it's fucking great. I love the fucking heart. I love the fucking short round. And our pizza's here.
You might as well pause it.
Okay, yeah, the pizza is here, but we're going to introduce it still quickly.
Right. So, Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. This is the second film, and the only second film, did not cast anything else. And I really hope they don't go back and fucking remake this or they bring out a third one.
Did you not say there was something about a junior one?
It's like Ace Ventura or the son or Ace Ventura Junior.
Is that 100%?
Yeah, just
not
go.
The mask?
No, go and watch the trailer. It's fucking awful.
Oh, God.
Fucking awful. This film came out in 1995, and it stars one of my all-time favourites, Jim Carrey. I mean, this is when he just couldn't go wrong. And it's actually... it actually came out in quite quick succession to the first one. It came out a year later.
Yeah, in fact, all those films that he sort of made his mark, it was fucking Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, Ace Ventura 2.
Liar, Liar.
And Liar Liar 97, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that must have been over a three or four year stretch of just doing hit after hit after hit.
So, if for anybody who hasn't seen this film,
just watch it. Don't listen to this.
So, Jim Carrey plays a detective who specializes in the retrieval of tame and captive animals. So he's like a police detective, but for animals.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why he's called Pet Detective. Now the weird thing about this film, I'm like. Is this just improv? Was there a script? And I think they did write it for him. It's definitely been written for Jim Carrey.
But how much that we see is in the script?
This is what I'm saying. So if whoever wrote that for him is genius.
Yeah.
And if they didn't write it and he's just improved it, it's genius. So either way you look at it, it's fucking awesome.
If you said to someone, right, we need you to come out of a rhino like you're being born out of a rhino.
I know.
No one's going to think... Oh, that's funny. It takes Jim Carrey to make that funny.
Yeah.
And let's compare it to that Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, I was going to talk about this. It's weird that you even talk about that.
What's it called?
Brothers Grimsby. Brothers Grimsby.
Brothers Grimsby in America, but over here it was Grimsby, I think.
Grimsby, yeah.
So, in that, it's a similar thing. It's inside of Rhino's vagina or something, isn't it?
Mark Strong's character and Sacha Baron characters, they're trying to outrun someone. They realise they can't outrun someone. So they jump inside, I think, the womb of a female elephant.
That's it, yeah.
And at the time, an erect male elephant decides to mount her, and whilst they're inside, the fucking penis is going in and out.
And they're trying to dodge the penis.
And it's ridiculous. And it's the most ridiculous film scene I think I've seen
it
for a while.
It makes Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, look like a hard-hitting Mike Lee drama.
Yeah.
It couldn't be more grounded compared to that fucking nonsense. And maybe that's because we're so cynical now, but I don't know. Like, it's just shit. And Ace Ventura is just so funny. Like, I hate scenes like this where it's like, oh, look.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love this film. I love that scene.
It's brilliant. So we're going to go watch it. But again, this for me, growing up, like, once I saw this movie, it's like, he is just harassing people.
Yeah.
And I was like, regardless of whether that's him on set doing that or him in the actual role doing that's what I aspire to be. I was like, that's what I want
to
be.
I want to talk to you about this when we come back.
Okay.
Because I've got some bad news.
Oh, no.
No, I completely agree with that. But someone else that you mentioned, Robin Williams, is Genie in Aladdin.
Yeah.
I had some suspicions and I rewatched it, and I've got to say, I've never been more cringed out watching a fucking film in my entire life.
What, Aladdin?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off. It's one of my favourite.
Watching the Genie, all the Genie's bits I used to love when I was a kid, and I saw it recently and I'm like, I can't watch this.
Really?
I can't watch it. It's so cringy.
And then he goes, I'm losing through a rug.
Yeah.
I got a crack of a smile out of Louis' face there. No, he's lying to you guys.
No, it's a wry smile. I'm
brilliant.
I'm sort of wincing. Right, pizza's getting cold.
Is it? Right, let's do it.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
Shikaka. 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 Shikasha.
Ah.
Shish kebab. Shawshank Redemption.
Chicago. You're out of there.
Go on. You're gone. Uh-huh. Go on.
So good.
Very funny.
So good.
I love it.
It's so good.
It's I take the one downside I think of this film. It's exhausting.
I know.
It's exhausting to watch.
It is, isn't it? Because it's non-stop.
It doesn't stop. It's like watching a cartoon.
It's mad. Or rather,
watching him is like a cartoon.
Yeah.
All the supporting... none of the laughs really come from anyone else other than him. There's a couple moments where it's like, that's fucking brilliant.
Grimald and... I forget the little helper guy. I love you too.
Yeah, that guy.
Hello, Ace.
He's pretty funny. Yeah. Other than that, though, it's not really. It's all him just being a fucking nightmare.
on set, it just must. There must be. It must get annoying at some point, but it must be hilarious to just watch him work.
Yeah, because filming days, it could be a 12-hour day, and you know they might be filming
a scene
that we find funny now, but obviously to everyone on the crew and that, after 12 hours of hearing him, and he's just making shit up, like that's got to be a fucking nightmare. That's got to be an absolute fucking nightmare. In terms of me feeling a bit dodgy about stuff culturally, like culturally insensitive, it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
There's a couple things about where spitting in someone's face would be a thing. Is that really a thing in any sort of subcultures?
I don't know. It could be. I love
any cultures
to be
in
honest,
Africa?
It kind of plays true to the whole American or white ignorance, doesn't it, towards it as well.
There's
a little bit of that in there.
Well, the fact that Simon Callow is the bad guy, he's like a posh, white, British. He represents everything wrong with British colonialism that's happened in the past and how it still continues to haunt Africa now. He represents that.
So
it is on the side of, you know, these are just people doing mind their own business and these are the people getting in the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got no issues with that. The spitting thing, maybe I could do without.
My favourite bit with that whole culture thing is when he goes, the Watuti did not know about disease until the white man came. Ah, choo! He just sneezes on him, right?
But again, like, you know, I'm sorry, but black people, Africans.
Brilliant.
Not all Africans are it doesn't matter what fucking undiscovered civilization you are, people know about disease.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, that's the joke of it,
I'm
isn't it?
Have to cut out me saying that.
Brilliant.
Now I've said that, I can't.
You're not going to edit it. You're not going to edit it.
You know what I mean? You're not
let it play, boy. Let it play.
Yeah, and again, like, religiously praising a bat, you know, maybe that happens in certain
yeah, but there's a lot
tribes
of cultures
or whatever.
And, yeah,
but
you know, serpents in Mexico. There's a lot of animals and things that different cultures.
I guess so.
Sacred and.
That's just my white guilt.
Worship.
Sweeping the floor in case I fuck up. So should we do a little synopsis?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we first meet Ace Ventura climbing a mountain trying to rescue a raccoon from a plane crash that's happened or something like that.
Yeah.
He then fails saving the raccoon and gets sent. He goes to train with some monks or whatever, who's clearly just annoying the fuck out of these
monks. He must have been harassing them for years.
When Grimwald is his name, when he comes to collect him, yeah. Say, look, can you help us find this creature? The chief monk there, whatever you want to call it, the high monk or whatever, is more than happy to get into, like, no, you're fine, you take this, you've made it, you're a super monk, just fuck off. He goes to Africa with Grimwald to find out more about what he's got to do. Little did he know that he's actually got to try and recover a bat, and bat is his Indiana Jones snake, basically.
Yeah.
He finds bats repulsive, like Indiana Jones is scared of snakes. He then goes and meets with the tribe, Hilary and Shoes, cultural differences. You know, scared of bats, then has to go and look for clues with the more aggressive, savage tribe, neighbouring
yep.
tribe. Again, Hilary and Shoes. then he pieces together, realizes that it's some of the hunters that he was described to earlier, like someone was talking about them hunters, the Australian hunters. Finds the bat, works out that it is in fact Simon Callow all along, confronts Simon Callow's character, and calls upon some animals to destroy his shit, and then gets there in time with the bat to stop the fire, only for them to realise that Sophie Okonedo's character, the princess of the tribe or whatever, has been fucked. This film's a 12, by the way. Has been fucked. She's not a virgin. She's not a pure virgin. So they chase him, much like they chase Indiana Jones at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first one.
Yeah.
So that's the synopsis. Right. Let's talk about some bits that we found amusing.
I just want to quickly throw in some little fun facts.
Excellent, let's do some facts.
So this is not necessarily relevant to this film, it's relevant to the Ace Ventura role. So originally, Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters, dude.
Wow.
Was offered the role of Ace, but he turned it down.
So it wasn't even written for
no.
Jim Carrey, that's
no,
amazing.
That's for the first film. The other actors that were considered were Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman again.
It just wouldn't have worked.
Who was Alan Rickman? What were we talking about before? Who was going to be chosen for a role? What was it?
The Chronicles of Riddick.
No, we were watching something, and we were like, and we did it as a fact. Like,
oh, yeah.
Who was meant to play?
I can't remember.
Who was it? What have we done before? Fucking hell, we're terrible, aren't we? What have we done before?
Was it not Bottom?
No, it wasn't Bottom, because that's just them being them, isn't it? It is. Let me find it. God, we're terrible, aren't we?
I know, we are useless when it comes to this.
It's all right, we're almost there. Almost there. Ress and Louis. Red Wolf.
Yes. Oh, that was it.
Yeah, for Lister and Remmer. Yeah. Alan Rickman. So Alan Rickman was meant to be Ace Ventura.
Yeah, it says that they were considered for it.
That's insane.
It would have never have worked. The film would have been completely different.
Alrighty then. Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
You twit. I want to eat your heart out with a spoon. What is that, me lord?
that's crazy.
You twit.
Have you got any more facts? That was a good one.
No,
like
that
it.
Was a good one. Hold on, wait. Oh, wait. This is brilliant. There was a point of time where the producers thought that the casting of a female lead for the film would have been the best option. Right. And Whoopi Goldberg was their first choice.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. She was too busy doing Theodore X. Or trying to weasel out of the contract of Theodore X.
Yeah. Or, yes, I guess Sister Act. All them films around the same time, weren't it?
Everybody So, I just want to go back to... we missed out Dumb and Dumber, by the way.
Did we? I thought we mentioned Dumb and Dumber.
I don't know. We might have. But
I'm sure I mentioned Dumb and Dumber.
I just want to go back to when we... how it was for me when I was a kid first watching this, because it holds so much, and I don't think I would have seen it in 1995. I think I probably would have watched it maybe in 98, 99.
I wanted to mention this because I think one of the reasons why I resonated with the film so much, because in my household, raised in like a vegetarian household, so it was all about animals, you know, care about animals no matter the cost, even at the expense of your own kids. That's more about my childhood than anything. So it probably resonated because he's about saving animals. Yeah. So watching a show where... watching a TV... oh my fucking God! I'll talk about my drinking later. Watching a film where the main thing is the main character's, you know, trying to save animals was just like, oh my God, this is fucking crazy. This is like the time when James Bond fucking completely disses a game hunter in one of the James Bond films. Roger Moore, I can't remember which one it was. This is sick. This is like, you know, it's like a mainstream film, but with the ideals that I have, and it was just really refreshing to have that. What were you saying? I'm sorry, man. I've completely.
No, I'm saying mine was.
Yeah, so that's
just
the
concept
time,
of at the time of what you've been doing.
I wouldn't have watched it until 97, I don't think, because I remember being told I wasn't allowed to watch it because it was a 12 and I was 11, and I'm just like, but I'm allowed to watch 12s. What are you talking about? It was just an excuse.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Dad. Fuck you.
Do you not remember? I swear it used to take a lot longer for films to come out.
Hell of a lot longer. That's what I mean.
On VHS as
well.
If
it came out in 95, it wouldn't have been out until 96, and I definitely wouldn't have had it until 97, maybe.
And I wouldn't have been old enough to be able to go to cinema to have seen that.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely, I would have been 10 when it came out.
The thing is, and obviously, again, things like trailers weren't accessible like that. They would have only been accessible if you would have gone to the Blockbusters and rented a movie and they would have been on that, or if you caught that, you know,
or actually at the movies,
or early morning Saturday or late nights evening TV where you get the odd movie picture show
and
things like that.
It was, and then on adverts on the TV it wouldn't have been the full trailer.
No.
it would have been a teaser. I remember, funnily enough, I remember seeing the trailer for The Mask, which came out in 94, so it would have been 9.
Wow.
And I remember seeing the trailer. You know when someone screams at him and then he screams and his eyeballs pop out like a cartoon? I remember seeing that and just thinking, I don't know how they've done this. That I didn't know computers could do this for films.
Well,
and seeing
that,
I remember looking at my dad and just going, I have to go and see this film.
It kind of had that, for me, it was the Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of look.
Yeah.
But evolved to a point where it was like...
where that was a tribute to sort of animated cartoons. This was like... basically
live action with the mix of it.
Yeah, which hadn't really been seen outside of Tron. It hadn't been seen, at least done in a way where, oh, this is obviously a computer generated. Before,
but that worked so well with the jokes because it was exaggerated and
a living cartoon character, so he's going to do cartoon things like his eyeballs coming out and he's. I just remember seeing that advert. It's one of my earliest memories of you know, just being like, I can't believe that a film can show us this now. And the comic timing as well. I know it's The Mask. We're going to be doing Ace Ventura, but it's just... That really blew me away when I was a kid.
That bit when he's bouncing down the halls to try and get the alarm or the chattering teeth for the alarm.
Again, it's exhausting to watch.
It is.
It doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop.
With Ace Ventura, I remember the first time I saw it, my cousin came round. And I don't know if he bought the tape or my sister had it and borrowed it off a friend. And he was like, oh, guys, you have to watch this movie. Like, you guys really, really need to watch the movie. So, again, I saw the second one before I saw the first one.
I think I probably would have had to assume this was the first one.
Yeah, because
I didn't even know.
No, I'd never even heard of it. And I just remember... all I remember is being blown away. By the time it got to the Monopoly guy scene, I think I wet myself. to the point where, you know, you poop and pee at the same time.
That's happened twice to me. The first time I saw films.
I got hiccups and I peed and pooed myself a little.
Peed
and wooed.
That's the new.
Keith Chegwin.
Keith Chegwin, Chief Pegwin.
Street. What's the chair one?
Cheeky Square. Again, we'll have that on a t-shirt.
Brilliant. We're not talking about Police Academy. We're just not.
There's two films that when the first time I saw them when I was younger.
Garlic.
That no, it wasn't Peter Kay. There's two films that made me have that same reaction of just I can't control my body anymore. I'm just in fits. And it was the first time I saw Porky's.
I've never seen Porky's.
Have you not? It's not funny.
Okay.
I thought it was amazing. I thought it was the best film I'd ever seen.
What, at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it probably would have been at it for its time, though.
Well, I'd never seen a film about boys trying to fuck girls and seeing girls' tits. I was like, what the fuck? And also,
how old would you have been when you've seen that?
I was around Neil's house and he had befriended him in year 9. So, whatever year 9 is, 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 14.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe there was a scene where a guy put his dick in a hole.
Oh, God.
And then the girl was like, grabbed it or whatever, I can't remember. Or they put an orgasm through the PA system in the school. I was just like, I couldn't believe I was seeing something so rude.
Yeah.
But aimed at kids, basically teenagers. Yeah. And the other film was Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Dude, when that film dropped,
because I couldn't see it in the cinema because it came out in 1999, so I was 14.
Yeah, wasn't old enough.
Didn't get in to see it at 15. So when I got that, I got it that Christmas that it came out on VHS. It was in the orange box, orange VHS box, weren't DVD. And I remember seeing
it. Wasn't like, transparent, was it? The bit inside it was orange. Yeah.
And my dad's girlfriend had got it for me that Christmas. And I honestly, we all sat down to watch it. I think it was Christmas morning. Or it was probably a birthday, actually. It's probably October morning. And we're watching it. And I'm laughing, like, oh, yeah, it's pretty funny. The deer goes passing by. They're doing a song. I'm like, oh, sweet. This is kind
of
cool.
As soon as they see Arses of Fire.
Dude, it's when they sing Uncle Fucker.
I know.
I honestly, that's a proper defining moment in my life. Sitting down with my family, watching Uncle Fucker. If you can tell me, Russ is closing his eyes here. If you can tell me a scene in a film before 1999, which is so provocative and because it gets away with it because it's the film's about them seeing a film that's disgusting. Yeah. But in reality,
they're so naughty in that film.
It's people going to see a film with that in it.
Operation Get Behind the Darkies.
It's classic South Park because they do that anyway with Cartman. Yeah, they say disgusting stuff through Cartman and they get away with it because it's not them, it's the character saying it.
Yeah.
They do the same with Uncle Fucker. They're like, right, what's the most offensive song we can put in a cinema worldwide? Oh, wait, it's not us doing it. It's what they're seeing and the story's about them not being able to see this film. I honestly, I couldn't believe, and they're all fighting. There's a little like jig where they're fighting with each other, like a little chorus, like going between each other. And it's when the moment that I really felt like I'd shat myself. No, it's the end of Uncle Fucker. It was just like
Slug about.
Then there's a little gap. There's a little gap in the movie between my next favourite bit, and I say this to you all the time. It's when they're singing. You can do it, it's all up to you, okay? And he says, and they all sing, the kids are singing, we shouldn't sing fuck, no, we shouldn't sing fuck, fuck no. And it's like, you've just said it. You've just said it.
He goes, step one, said it. Say poo, like poo head, is poo fuck, is cold. Poo is cold. This poo is cold.
None of us will ever forget what luck is in Latin.
Oh, Bic.
No, it's generosity, isn't it? Yeah. Generosity.
Fuck. Oh, man. That film was, even now, I mean, back then, again, it was just, oh my, like every other line, it was just like, holy shit. Like, and before you could even catch your breath, you were choking.
It's exhausting.
To the point where...
And that brings us back to this again, because this, it's...
Oh, wow.
It's and the what a lot of the good stuff in this film is that whereas South Park you should probably be at least 15 to watch it. Yeah. This one, it doesn't matter how old you are. Well, maybe there's a couple jokes that are a little bit.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of jokes in there. The
when he
raunchy.
Pushes down on a pregnant tribeswoman and the baby just flings out still attached to the cord. That's
Wait,
pretty
did
rough.
You just say black?
Yeah.
You can't say that these days.
Yes, you can.
You can't. You say ethnic brown.
You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot.
Social justice warrior, eh?
Why are you doing that? This isn't indicative of your character, Ras. The people need to know this.
Right. We'll carry on.
Okay, but most of the jokes are just funny because it's Jim Carrey doing physical
things
with his face.
It's the gestures, it's the facial movements, it's the noises he makes.
I've got to say, one of the most horrible things in the film is when he's poking his eye to make the guy speak. So it's like a torture scene, but instead of torturing him physically...
I used to do that to people all the time.
He's poking his own eyeball.
I know. He literally holds his eyeballs open, I mean his eyelids open, and he's physically just
And the guy's like, I can't take it. Now that's fine, but in the previous scene...
When he comes out of the rhino.
When he's coming out of the rhino, the actual rubber...
The latex gets stuck on his eyelid.
Of the rhino's anus. It's on his eyeball, but it's not stopping...
Brilliant.
Pardon me. He's not stopping. He's just carrying on. That thing must be fucking poking him right in the eye. He's like...
It's the noise when he comes out and he goes...
Yeah, it's like a proper growl bark. But that's funny in
itself.
Again,
that scene alone.
It's the family watching it, thinking it's a beautiful miracle. And
yeah,
then
it's the birth of a baby.
Turns out to be a human being.
Naked as
which
well.
Is, yeah. It's fucking foul. And that's what makes it funny, I think.
I remember when I first saw that and was just so shocked. And just, I don't think I laughed immediately. I think it was only until after and I couldn't stop giggling. And... That's the only way to describe this film. When I was a kid, I used to giggle and giggle and giggle. And me and Louis we just sat and watched that, and we giggled pretty much consistently the whole way through.
Yeah.
And even at sometimes you're giggling to the point where you've missed the joke, and then you then have to quickly shout out the joke just to confirm that you've heard that joke.
We haven't been to the cinema to see too many comedies, have we?
I don't really get on with comedies like that though.
In the cinema.
Things like there's certain things that I just won't go and see. Like I remember when things like, you know, like American Pie. I remember being like 11 or 12 when that first came out, and like I got caught up on the whole thing where it's like, oh my god, this is hilarious, this is well funny. And by the time I think I got round to seeing the second one in the cinema, I was like, this is not funny. My friends thought it was the most hilarious thing.
What you mean, but I've got there's a small place in my heart for the second one because he describes dildos as lesbian artifacts.
Oh god.
Which I think is fucking brilliant. But I know what you mean. A lot of mainstream comedies, I'm just like, it doesn't hit the mark for me.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
And it's the same way with horror. Like, I know Louis's not going to go out of his way to go and watch the next horror. Like, at this moment of time, Insidious The Last Key is out. Louis's not going to go and see that. Not necessarily because he's not a fan of the Insidious series. It's because it's a horror movie and it's just a generic horror movie. They pump these out every now and again. A special film
actually
will come out.
I secretly love these movies, but I just will try and wind up my wife. I just pretend that I hate horror films.
But you know what I mean, it's the same with me with comedy movies like Employee of the Month. Dude,
this is an 81 Honda, how dare you. we need to just clarify, that's not our favourite film.
No,
despite me quoting it and you remembering it. We don't like it.
No.
Pardon me.
We used to work in Blockbusters, and they used to have the trailers of like the latest movies coming out, and they used to play segments from each film, but they'd
over
only have,
and
over
again.
But they'd only have about 10 films, and you can imagine if you're on an 11-hour
didn't
shift.
They only changed the tape like every month, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or every 2 months.
It was so every 2 months, so you'd get the same thing for 11 hours a day, just on repeat, and I just remember Ainsley all the way through. Ainsley singing the love and lyrics. Is it life and lyrics?
This
like,
Enchanted.
I thought I wasn't going to lose my head, but then pop goes my heart.
Yes. Do you remember Enchanted? You know Enchanted?
Yeah.
It's like Disney Come to Life.
Yeah.
That one always used to
be. Used to play like random
it?
Segments. I don't remember the Enchanted.
I've been dreaming. It's something like that, wasn't it? Yeah. Whoa! It was like that.
It was really bad.
I've been dreaming and it gets hit by a car.
Like, me and Paul used to love the SWAT movie one because you go, hey, there it is, there it is, there it is.
Yes. And the tagline, you're either SWAT or you're not.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. It's so bad.
It
it's
was
really
bad. But yeah, coming back to Ace Ventura, we just again it hasn't really aged at all. And there's a lot of special effects in it and practical effects that actually still look pretty good to its day. You can tell that they're special effects, but they for its time.
Yeah, no, you're right. The opening scene with like the cliffhanger sort of spoof is it's pretty well done because it goes from a wide panoramic shot straight into him climbing the
telescopic zoom. There's
no cart where it's a stuntman and now it's Jim Carrey. It's just a whole thing, and they don't need to do that. It's a comedy film. Yeah. They don't need to do any practical effects like that, but they do, and it pays off.
It's just again, there's so much genius in this film. Like me and Louis just. You can't, there's so much because it's like every time it's like, did they write that? Was that written or was that improv? And it's.
I think that's probably why I prefer the second one to the first one because, as you say, if Alan Rickman was fucking Whoopi Goldberg were being brilliant. Considered, it's clearly they've written a movie. Who's going to be in it? They happen to get Jim Carrey, who's an unknown, basically at the time.
Yeah.
And he puts it in. So in the second one, he gets to be himself because.
Yeah.
He's a bit more of a star now, and I think that's probably why the second one resonates more with people than the first one.
I guess so.
You know
what I love is, I know this is off track, but you know in Simpsons when there's the bottomless pit and then they're throwing like things down it and Homer tries to throw the evil Krusty doll down it.
Yeah.
And then the gangster walks up with the body rolled up in a carpet and it's like a river dirty. And then this guy randomly is walking with a box of photos and he goes, I was a fool to think anyone would want these naked photos of Whoopi Goldberg. And he throws them in the hole, and the hole throws them back.
And hey, that's a Halloween special, so we're allowed to have jokes like that.
Yeah.
Physical jokes that don't make sense. Yes.
Right.
That's fine.
But yeah, again, like you said, the fact that he was probably allowed to hone it, and Jim Carrey was a masterclass at this, you know. I think Ace Ventura came from, I think it was from another sketch show. It was his character of the overly gay guy. That's where the alrighty then came from. So it was a mixture of a few roles from different comedy sketch shows that he'd kind of pieced together and kind of just infused. But there's so much, like he breaks characters into so many different voices and his impressions of people.
They're spot on.
They are spot on.
He does a really good job.
But it's not even just that. It's the body gesture, it's the facial expressions and the voice, and that as a package was Jim Carrey as a whole.
when he meets the Monopoly guy and he leans over and goes, "Thanks for the free parking."
That is genius.
It's brilliant. So and there's no way that was written.
There's no way.
That's just him just on the cut. It has to be.
Well, when he goes to bite, when he bites the guy, he gets
the general
arrested.
Guy,
yeah.
Sort of, yeah, the military
and he
sort
just goes,
of guy. Yeah, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. Going like nah. That would be like a typical film. Any other film, Hot Shots Part Trois, for example, would do that.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Trois. If there was a third one, they would do something like that. This no.
What? And the replayability, if that isn't a word, you know, if that isn't even a word, was again when you was a kid. I don't know what it was about these old school movies, but the replay value was just. Immense. I would sit and watch it until the tape was fucked.
Yeah.
I would, you know, and it wouldn't be just me, it'd be my sisters as well. Me and my sisters, we'd sit down of an evening. It was a proper treat. We'd have probably watched it nearly every other weekend. We went through a phase where we were probably watching it every other night. We'd have it on VHS. I think it was borrowed from a friend. And we literally would sit and watch it, rewind it, go get a drink or something, and watch it again. And it would still make us laugh. And it's funny because I can't imagine doing that with most films. Even films I like, I'll sit there and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to sit through that again. Certain films are a treat.
Totally.
Certain films are a treat and they're an amazing films. Like, there's certain films that I go, that was amazing. That was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go and sit through it.
And that's fine.
And that's fine. I'm not having a dig.
For example, so Game of Thrones, I would watch over and over again. I have watched over and over again.
Yeah.
And I always will. I think it's a league apart and it rewards repeat viewings because it's so
many characters.
So
many hidden layers and things
and
references.
However, Westworld, for example. Now, I really enjoyed Westworld, but I'm never going to go and watch that again.
No,
I'm not going to rewatch. I'm going to watch the new series, but I'm not.
But you're not going to
go back. Yeah, and that's fine as well.
Yeah.
But you're right. This has got a sort of because it's so exhausting, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's so you can actually just sort of just like, right, okay.
Take a breather.
Yeah,
here we go again.
It's like the Lego Batman movie. Now, I fucking love that movie
so much,
but I need to see it again because it's just...
It was
bang,
every
bang, bang.
Other line was a joke.
I can't remember anything apart from the kids call me dick. Kids can be so cruel joke, which,
no,
by the way, is
the,
brilliant.
The culturally insensitive El Mariachi Batman suit.
There's a million of them.
As soon as he says that, it had me. He's like, oh, we can't have that because it's culturally insensitive.
That's a really good impression.
I know.
Fucking on fire today, mate. You know, you once told me about John Kay of Ren and Stimpy that he ordered all the animators, like, we don't want to see them pull the same expression twice.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me that, right?
No.
Someone told me that. I could have sworn it was you.
But I know this, though. Go on.
Yeah, so he said, yeah, we don't want to see the same expressions twice. And that's why you see so many different variations on those characters' faces, expressions, you know, just things they're going through, the tortured, like, those, like, painted scenes where it's just one frame.
You know, and it's like the zoom in.
Yeah, the zoom in of, like, the varicose veins.
Oh, there's... I'd never forget this one where, like, Stimpy's picking his nose and eating it, right? And he pulls out and he's got a massive bogey on it. And they zoom in, it's got, like, fluff. It's got mushrooms all in it.
Yeah, and it's a really detailed
frame. Yeah, it's a really detailed still shot.
Like the old style sort of title cards for the cartoons before Ren and Stimpy's time. That sort of detail. Yeah, so you told me that once about Ren and Stimpy, and I think Jim Carrey seems to have that same thing in this movie. You never see him smile the same way.
No,
throughout the whole film. You know, he's just, you don't know what he's going to do next, it's just insane.
The affectations he has. There are certain things like the sways and the nodding of the hair and the poses that he stands. But even, you know, like that.
It's always under different circumstances. Yeah. It's like always in a different mood or something.
Yeah, when he's on the back of the car. And he attaches the parasol to it. And then all of a sudden he just lets his limbs go.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It feels like we haven't seen him in a position that his body is capable of being in.
Yeah. It's so good. And again, we always talk about true actors to the craft. And just fully going... He gets so immersed into certain roles. And there's that... Is it that Jim and Andy that I really want to watch on Netflix?
Yeah.
Was it the film Man on the Moon, when he played that character to the point where offset, he would not break role?
Well, if you see it, you'll realise he looked like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, and he does. And in the end, he has fist fights on set with people. Mm-hmm. He was taking people, like full-grown men, breaking them down to tears because he just wasn't breaking character. Now, that to me, there's something to admire there because... That is, he's so true to his craft.
Yeah, he also acted the same way in front of Andy Kaufman's actual children.
I know.
It's a mixed bag, but you know, some people might see that as craft. Some people might see that as just insensitive and pretentious. But it's interesting for us. It's fascinating because there's no one else really, at least someone of Jim Carrey's status, doing.
He's a really good actor as well. He really, really is. And to something really, I don't know too much about his personal life. I don't really want to go into that. However, the few times that I've ever seen him on, like, you know, like the news programs, and they go, oh, he was spotting and stuff like that. Every time he gets stopped by someone, he'll sign the autograph and he's happy to do so. And so many times it was like, there was a time where he was out, just randomly out. With someone random, like someone could have said, okay, well, he should have been wearing maybe a disguise or a hat, but he was just having like a coffee.
Yeah.
And like every, you could see it that like every other sentence that he was about to say, someone would recognize him, simply interrupt, he'd stop to pose a picture, wave, smile, say hello, sign anything, then carry on his conversation. And this must have happened about 20 times just from drinking a coffee.
Well, you know the difference between
Jim. And he was happy to do it.
You know the difference between Jim Carrey and most people working in Hollywood? Jim Carrey is Canadian.
Brilliant. That's probably why.
But racial stereotyping people. There we go. As long as it's positive, it's all right.
When they're charging at you with their hockey sticks and their bead little eyes.
And their flapping mouths.
So good.
Canadian government has apologised for Brian Adams many times. Now.
Let's not forget Brian Adams. Now, the Canadian government has apologised for Brian Adams on several occasions. Can I finish, please?
I got a fetish. It's a brilliant nation to stereotype because it's literally so inoffensive.
Dude, how good is it in the game when you go to Canada?
It's all 8-bit RPG, like.
Brilliant. It's so good.
With the chip tune, Canadian national anthem.
So good. I urge anyone to go and rewatch this movie because it's really good, especially if you loved it as a kid. I don't know if anyone would get on it now. I know I've only ever come across two people that didn't like Jim Carrey.
And how did you kill them?
Oh, that would be telling. And I used to get really offended as a kid. When someone would say that to me, I'd be like, sorry?
Yeah, did you like, watch what? The right film? Yeah.
What do you mean? And I could. That was one of the things I could not comprehend.
Have we changed though? Like, look at Star Wars. I don't want to talk about Star Wars today, but
no, I refuse, because everybody else that I've heard had that argument, especially online. I did not watch those reviews before making that opinion. Yeah, they all seem to be saying the same fucking thing that I've been saying. And it can't just be, I refuse to believe that we've gotten older and now we see it just in that light.
The zeitgeist has changed now. Everyone's saying that it's good. No, and if you don't like it, then you've misunderstood it.
Yeah, but my point is, yeah, but now you're accepting it because like you say, okay, oh, amazing. Yeah, we can have surprising changes. Yeah, let's mix up the narrative. Let's change up the flow. Let's make it so like in Game of Thrones where the good guy does not walk out of a room with 20 men surrounding him. Let's make it like that. But you can't discredit other things that have then happened before. You've set up a whole thing about the... Like, we've known the Force. Oh, all right, I'm just not doing it.
If you haven't listened to the Star Wars podcast, you just got a little preview there.
Right, I just want to say one more thing on it. No, I'm not having it. It's you can't get away with it. If anybody wants to go and check Game Theory or Film Theory, done by Matt Pat, excellent YouTuber. He's got an amazing sense of deduction skills. Can break down anything. He was the guy that was behind the whole Final Fantasy, how Cloud potentially could have killed Tifa by not Tifa. Aerys by drowning her because the pierce of the impact from the sword may not have necessarily killed her. He's really, really good. I urge you to go and see.
It's just it's a fun look. A lot of people are like, oh, well, it doesn't make sense. No. Yeah, but it's just a fun look at it's a fun look at looking at the detailed nuances of video games.
He's really good. I urge you, because the amount of research he does compared to what we do is fucking phenomenal. Go and watch his episode on Film Theory, The Last Jedi, or the how Film Theory killed Star Wars. Just go and have a look, because there's a lot of reviewers that are saying, oh, we all got caught up on the hype wagon, that's why we're so disappointed. No. He calls it out. He breaks down the art of being misled. He does it in his own videos, and he holds some accountable to that. But then he's like, hang on a minute, you can't blame the viewers for a bad movie. He's like, he lists all the things that make that film a bad movie.
I'm gonna have to look at that, but we should probably get off that topic.
Sorry,
because I know, because we can talk about this, but
we're not talking about Police Academy.
We're just not. Nice to have a catchphrase.
It is. What's the other one? I'll edit that out.
Yeah, I won't.
No, you won't. Louis, this is just dead air.
The like crazy sort of wacky guy in the Savage Tribe, played lovingly by a Bournemouth striker, Jermaine Defoe.
I know, he really looks like
him. He probably looks like Jermaine Defoe. Brilliant. With face paint on. Have you got anything else to say about...
Okay, what was your favourite scene?
Oh, very good.
What's your favourite scene?
Do yours first, because I have trouble.
Oh, fuck. Okay, right. So, me and my sisters, we love this, and we still quote this scene to our day. So, the Monopoly one is brilliant.
Yeah.
All the little bits where he's playing with the little... the guy's little whipping thing that he's whipping with the horse. My favourite bit is at the beginning when he's on the plane. And Grimwald's talking to him about the Watutu tribe and what happens if the bat's gone and blah, blah, blah. And he literally is, whilst this is all going on, he's telling this really long, deep story. And they kind of do like a montage cut of him telling the story. Then the scene slowly points to Ace. They're on the plane. They're like high altitude. And all of a sudden, he's looking out the window. He's double checking. He's looking back again. And all of a sudden, he turns to Grimwald. He grabs him and he goes, there's someone on the wing. Some thing. And then he grabs Grimwald and he goes, I'm sorry, what was you saying? He's just not paying attention.
It's fucking brilliant.
The whole time he's just winding him up.
Which is a reference to?
William Shatner in, Terror at 10,000 feet or 50,000 feet? One of the original Twilight Zone episodes. Which introduced William Shatner as an actor, right? Didn't it? As one of the early works.
One of the first things he was in. I've got my favourite bit is probably
Simpsons do that as well, don't they?
They do, with a literal gremlin, which is where the word gremlin comes from. It's from the stories of monsters being on the side of planes in the Second World War, I believe. I'm almost certain.
It's crazy. There's a lot of things that they saw, but then go on. We'll get into that another time.
So my favourite bit is probably in the sort of function room where with the projection, and he's really just in his element, just fucking around. Yeah. He's in the way. He's doing the shadow puppets, and he starts tweaking his nipples. The noises are fucking fantastic. And then he does the fucking thing over his eyes.
Hi
ho, silver away! Or whatever the fuck.
Hi ho, silver and away!
Fucking brilliant.
It's so good. It's Simon Callow is proper like
Simon Callow's brilliant.
Do you know what,
he does that fucking basically he's like the last resort for a bad fucking British villain. Yeah. But
I'm surprised he's not been a Bond villain yet. Has he been he hasn't been a Bond villain.
It'd be too late for him to do it now.
I know,
Bond villains are up their own arse.
And he's a great Shakespearean actor as well.
So I've been told.
It's really, really good. You know what really makes me laugh is you know when people do shadow puppets? And they do the snake, right?
Yeah.
It makes me laugh doing the snake puppet myself. Yeah, I entertain myself more than I do other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in that puppet, in that scene, and he's like...
And then chokes it back up. You never see that.
And it's Grimwald giggling as well. Like, yeah,
it's like he's meant to be the straight man to Jim Carrey's wild man. Is the wild card.
And he's lost it.
The straight man even cracking up. I love it when narratives... do what they're not supposed to do and they have the straight man just like fuck it, oh, that is funny, fair enough.
And I'm thinking, was he supposed to be still faced but he was just pissing himself at one particular thing that Jim Carrey was doing and they decided to add it because
there's a Alan Partridge documentary on at the moment on iPlayer and they reference a scene where Sally Phillips' character is just cracking up laughing and I always assumed it was just meant to be part of the show but I think They say in it, yeah, she was cracking up laughing, but we just kept it in. Because, and Armando Iannucci was saying, you don't see that in shows.
No,
so why
you
not?
Don't.
You don't see people laughing at other people. So so fuck it, why not? Why
you
not?
Because it's weird, because sometimes when you see things on set, and it can be quite distracting in certain films where someone will do something crazy and funny, and you're laughing, and none of the characters in the film are laughing, and you're like...
Yeah.
It's really strange. I've had that in horror movies a lot with certain characters not being scared. And you're like, in this situation, you would either be paralysed with fear or you'd be shitting yourself running, not just casually bumbling about.
Christian Bale likes to have a laugh on set, doesn't he?
Yeah, really does.
Bellend.
Fucking hell.
Fresh Prince of Bellend.
Brilliant. So, what, do you reckon anything like this would work now? Because I know a lot of things come out
We're
now.
So cynical now, aren't we? Here's an example. The new Jumanji film that's come out, yeah?
Right.
Now, you saw the trailer for that, right?
Yeah.
And you probably the same reaction as me.
It does look fucking awful, though.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, same. I was just like, "What? Why bother? No one cares about Jumanji anyway. No one's going, my childhood, Jumanji. Like, maybe a couple of people, but it wasn't good at the time. It's not good now.
We're going to get hung high and high strung for that.
I don't give a flying fuck. Come at me, bro. It's basically, they've taken the name, made a film.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's really good.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I've heard that the main characters playing the teenagers do a really good job of playing, like, the Rock's meant to be a weedy little boy.
He plays
a weedy little boy in the Rock's body. And Jack Black, a middle-aged
He's
man,
awesome, though. I really like Jack Black.
He's playing a teenage girl.
Yeah, I know.
And apparently he does it really well. So like, when I say, no, I don't think it would work now, I don't know.
When you say that, are you referring to an Ace Ventura 3 with Jim Carrey reprising the role? Or are you talking about a reinvention of the character? Or are you talking about something very similar?
A film with the same budget, the same sort of story, basically the same tone.
Yeah.
I just think everyone's too cynical now for it to work.
Yeah, but then my point would be something like Brothers Grimsby. It was just too much. It was just too much.
Well, there we go. If we have to go on that... I also...
Away!
So I've got to check on the football scores.
For me, it's too much. And I like Sacha Baron Cohen. I think Borat movie, the Bruno movie, the Ali G fucking movie are brilliant. I love...
Yeah.
I'm constantly going over the
old
comedy scripture.
Well, I love Jim Carrey, but I don't think I'm going to enjoy Mr. Popper's Penguins.
That's... I mean, there's got to be worse than that out there.
The number 23?
I didn't like that film. It was like,
I haven't seen it. It didn't look.
It started off all right because it's like he's a different. He doesn't really play a Joker in it. He's a very serious role, and then all of a sudden it's just like every other excuse. Like it's like every other equation. Oh, every house you've lived at is 23, and even the work dresses that you've worked at, if you add them up, that adds to 23 as well. Yeah. And if you look on the thermostat over there, it's 23.
Yeah.
This page that you accidentally ripped out of your book, 23. It's just like, for fuck's sake, just yeah. everything
to be fair,
was too convenient.
In the name, though.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But no, but
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is
movie.
Well, there you go.
Fucking fantastic
there you go.
Movie.
So again, he is amazing, and the Dumb and Dumber film.
No, it didn't look very good. Mm. But would a film like this, not necessarily Jim Carrey? I think the reason why it works is because of Jim Carrey. I don't think it would work now with anyone else.
No.
And I don't think he's up for doing anything like that these days.
And the thing is as well, like you said, we went through a period of where you had The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, this,
yeah.
the first one, Liar Liar, where if someone was to come now, if you jumped into that role as wacky and as insane in your first movie, I don't know if it would take off.
Have we had, since Jim Carrey, a comic actor with... Just, who can get away with stuff like
can
this?
Can I just tell you something?
Go on.
I know it's ill to speak ill of the dead, but Mark Spite from Smart used to proper think he was Jim Carrey. And it
really?
Used to really annoy me. Because I used to be like, he just pulls all the faces that Jim Carrey does, right? Now, I remember when me and Lee found out when he died, right? And this is harsh.
Go on.
Right. Lee will love this.
So, Lee, I hope you're listening,
you know,
mate.
You know when someone dies and they come up with really awful... So, like, some arsehole's waiting there with a really awful joke to do
yeah.
it there. So he was found hung, right? Or it was it hung. He hung himself at a train station, right? And it was like he went missing for a while, and the joke was Mark Spite's been caught hanging around for trains.
I gotta say, I was expecting a little better than that,
and,
mate.
No, and me and Lee, it might not even be funny, but it was just at the time, me and Lee wet ourselves, right? And the other time as well, when Colin McRae died.
Yeah, that's a great joke.
They were like, his wife was gonna leave him because he couldn't get his chopper up. And I just think it's so harsh, but I don't want to go out like that. If I ever die, just don't let it be comedic.
Oh, Joe. Joe?
That's
I
weird.
Called you Joe.
Weird.
Russ.
Right.
Why would I call you Joe? Russ. Fucking hell. You know what? I need to cover this right now. Now, I know I say that I try not to drink to
yeah.
do these episodes.
Well, he's got our way with this, guys, because I turned up and he's already had 3 cans. So he's not drinking whilst he's doing
the podcast. No, I had 2
the
in the
podcast.
Pub. I had 2 in the pub.
Two in the... I thought you said the park then.
No, pub.
Fucking White Lightning, mate.
Not that bad. And I've had 4 since I got home. But I work Sunday, so Monday is my Saturday. So Monday is the day that I get to have a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I sometimes might slur my speech. But I feel like I've done a really good job today. Fuck you. Fuck you, everyone. And you,
Joe. Before we say it, brilliant. You know, we were talking about, like, you were talking about anagrams not in this podcast. We might have said this before, but an anagram of Go Get Beer is George Best.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
insane.
Yeah, yeah.
That is insane. Because
yeah.
the reference of that is really twisted,
know.
You know.
He was a really good player, man.
Really
good. You know that.
Yeah.
Audience, if you've never heard of George Best, he was quite good.
But this is not the football podcast.
It's not,
is it?
Liverpool are playing. Liverpool are losing 1-0 to Swansea, man. We just beat fucking Man City 4-3 in probably the game of the season. And
this
now we can't even beat
this
Swansea.
I shed my hands of it. It's so inconsistent. It's shit. But at least Man City are not going to go unbeaten. That record has already been held.
And we did it. We kept it for you.
Yeah, well done.
This is the football podcast. This is football classics.
Goal!
Striker!
Ball, ball, ball. Footy, footy, footy. Ball, ball, ball.
Football!
What is it? When I go see Villa, my view is blocked by a
concrete pillar.
When I go see Arsenal, I reckon they can pass an all.
And when I go see Millwall, I know I'll see a good game of football. Not true, by the way. Okay, I guess we're done. I wanted to sort of talk about something else so outside
when
of the...
When I go see Tottenham, I bet in there's no stopping them.
It's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Wow!
It's, GlennonHoddleyHoddleyHavingall. Glenn on Liz having a goal. Fucking hell.
Glenn Hoddley's having a goal.
I'm 6 beers deep and I'm fucking smashing it. Dude, I was watching Simpsons the other day.
Go on.
There was a massive cut in it.
Whoa.
There, like a massive cut.
Okay, what was this for? On Channel 4?
On Channel 4, during the day, yeah.
What episode?
Saturday afternoon. I think it was Whacking Day, but it might have been...
What?
It might have been another one. You'll be able to know which yeah. it is from this explanation. Right. So, you know, coming up now, the man who's had hiccups for 35 years or whatever.
Kill me! Kill me!
Except you wouldn't have known that because that bit was cut.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. Now, that's fair enough, because it's middle of the day and maybe kids are watching, I don't know. Maybe Channel 4 have got some rules and they can't show it anymore. Whatever. Later on in the episode, Willie says, "Ah, and I'll tear me a new arse." What the fuck?
I know. It's inconsistent. And you know what it is? It's because they wouldn't have watched the episode. Someone probably would have quoted that
yeah.
whilst they were talking about the episode, and they went, right, well, we're not going to have that in there. Take that out. And yeah. they've not seen the fucking episode.
Yeah, maybe. But there's probably some rules, maybe, that you can't
do you not
make
remember
light
the,
of suicide
do you not remember
in,
they,
in the afternoon or
when
morning.
They first used to show the U2 ones, and the guy who collects the spoons, and he throws it. He goes, "Can I see your spoon, Michael?" And he throws it out of the window, and he goes, "Wankers." They never used to cut that out. They never
yeah.
used to cut that out.
And,
it used to be on TV and they never used to cut that out.
I know, obviously, it's a different context.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
the Stonecutters one where Marge says, "Someone wants to see you for a certain wink wank." And I swear there used to be a Flintstones episode when Wilma says,
they're
"The bollocks I know."
Yeah.
Bollocks.
That's brilliant.
It was fucking
I'd love
awesome.
To, I'd love to be able to do it. And I guess that's, in a way, that's probably where South Park gets it right. And fair play to him. If your children are if they are watching that show, then fair play to them. It's just because it's a cartoon and you've misunderstood that you've took it for it's a cartoon. It's for kids.
Yeah,
so you're fucking right.
I just maybe you shouldn't be making jokes of suicide on. I think
what
I don't. No, we're like middle of the day on Channel 4.
No, I guess kids. So.
What?
But, come on.
But it's but it's probably not the content itself. It's probably just because it references suicide. They have to legally cut it out. I don't think they're saying, we can't have that. I think they're like...
But this is my point. This is my point, yeah? You can have the over-sexualization of kids in shows like Hollyoaks.
Totally.
And stupid
totally.
Shit like
I
that.
I completely agree.
But then you come to things like that, and then they fucking cut
I
it.
I completely agree. But if there's like some sort of thing with Ofcom, it's just like, no thing of this before 12 o'clock. You can't show smoking before 12
no,
o'clock, for example.
I guess so. But again, it's the same with some lyrics on the radio. Like... there's certain songs that are just so they're not even subliminal. It's just it's so
My
fucking.
Sharona.
Yeah. And then there's a song with I think it's Usher's "Love in This Club," and he's like, "You can tell your friends, let them know that I got you. You can leave them with my homies," and they used to cut out the word homie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Dude, what that fucking that Electric Six song where they cuts out the word nuclear war.
Again,
it's like, oh, you have some correspondent on talking about how fucking trigger happy is fucking
I know.
Obama is firing drones.
But they're saying, I've got something to put in you.
Yeah, that's fine.
At the gay bar. Do you know what I mean? I got something to put in you.
It's fucking brilliant, that video as well, with the tunnel.
I really love Danger. Danger.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Danger.
It's fantastic.
How about
dude, that reminds me of the bit in Simpsons where. Agnes says to Skinner, like, no driving home through tunnels, you know what that symbolises.
It's horrible.
No,
mother, that sailor suit doesn't fit anymore.
I was going to say something really profound, but I've forgotten it. Goddamn,
so,
booze.
What's your choice for next week?
Fuck.
You haven't thought of one, I know you hadn't. It's because we've been so caught up with this and being so excited.
Okay, you know what? No, just quickly, I want to say something.
Liverpool have just scored.
Don't say that. Is it? Oh, I thought something had come up on the screen. They haven't scored at all. Good Lord, Chief Wiggum, Dr. Doolittle's Chief Wiggum. This man's
gotta
fly. No, Liverpool haven't scored. Fuck you. There's been so much feedback about people saying that they're really grateful that we recommended Inside Number 9. Loads of
people. I know. I got a load of messages from it saying they actually really like it.
How sick is that?
So maybe we should do a recommendation of something else this week as well. Because remember, you said, is there anything that you're playing or watching? Maybe recommend.
Yes, and I have got something.
So that's good. So I can't stress enough. The feedback. It's got to keep coming. Just keep doing it. It's all relevant. All the feedback has been very constructive so far. So I just want to thank you all. Thank you all for the support, downloading and streaming. And I just want to say thank you for the support.
Let's have a listener of the week. This week is Matt Potter.
Yay!
Okay. It was a choice of three people, but thank you.
You're all special.
We appreciate that, and we appreciate giving you something that you may not have watched without our input. Basically, we're amazing. So what are you going to recommend this week?
Ooh, this is going to be tough. I am going to recommend... Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. Oh, okay. I saw a film the other day at the cinema. It was really, really good. Really, really loved it. It's called Three Billboards, Ebbing, Missouri.
Outside Epping Forest.
It's actually really, really good. I urge you guys to go and see it. If you really want to go and see a really cool, really, really well done film. It's actually got a really dark undertone to it, but it's actually quite funny. And the way they pull it off, I've never really seen that being done in a film. The screenplay, the banter, it's done really, really well. And lead cast, it's the main lady out of Fargo, the film. And she's in Burn After Reading as well.
Dormand?
Yes, that's her name, yeah. Brilliant actress. And these are the type of films that you want lead females in. Not fucking... As much as I really liked Wonder Woman, it's got no disrespect against Gal Gadot, but these are the films where, you know, the strong female lead presence. This is someone breaking away from that stereotype or just a strong, independent woman. These are the films that's going to take women to the next level in film. Like, I'm not saying that they're not, but... The way they're portrayed, or the roles that some of them get to play. As much as I like someone like Meryl Streep, for example, I can't see Meryl Streep playing this role. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's awesome. Really, really good. So that's what I would recommend this week. It's at the cinema, so you might have to shed money for this one.
I'm going to recommend a game, Nex Machina, on PS4.
Ooh.
Because it's a arcade orgasm. It's just beautiful, and that's all I can say. And what book am I reading at the moment?
Head Full of Ghosts.
Throne of Glass.
Ghost Full of Heads.
That's what Chelsea's reading.
Oh.
Throne of Glass. I'm only halfway through it, but it's very nice indeed.
Soon found out, had a throne of glass.
Yes. It's like a teen book, like teen fantasy book.
What? You know. What, like fantasy, teen romance, teen horror?
Like a young adult book.
Point horror.
Chelsea's reading them as well.
Point romance.
Okay.
Goosebumps.
Who's the one who's drunk 6 pints today? Is it me or is it you?
Does water count?
Are you on your third beer? Does whiskey count? Is whiskey beer? It's so good.
Louis, do you drink? I do enjoy a snifter of port at Christmas.
Dude, literally, two weeks into this year, the only booze I had was literally a snifter of port. I'm not joking, I don't mean I had some port. I mean literally one of them things, like that big, of port. Literally saying, literally enjoyed a snifter of port at Christmas. But no, I'm on my sixth pint. Seventh in a minute. I'm going to recommend... Is there anything else?
No.
No, okay.
I'm going to recommend a graphic novel next week, so... Wait. No, you haven't decided what you're
going
to do?
Yeah, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pause it and then look at my phone because I don't know what episode number it is. So I'm just going to find the episode number. Okay. I've been doing quite a lot of American shows because I've been having to hold your hand and guide you through the 51 states or however many they've got these days.
51?
50? I don't know. Fuck knows. Too many. We're going to do Peep Show.
Oh... Very good choice, my friend.
Okay. I literally knew in my head what episode we were going to do. And
you look a bit like that.
Oh, you're a cunt. You're a cunt.
What?
Because we did this last week and you were like, no, you don't look like him. No, you're like, you look like him.
Was it Mitchell?
David Mitchell. Fine, I look like David Mitchell.
He doesn't.
I'm married now. I don't care about what I look like.
Nice.
We're going to do series 2, episode 2.
Chelsea is a lucky woman, in all fairness.
Oh, pity the fool.
Who doesn't phone home? I love that. What would you get if you crossed E.T. and Mr. T? I think it would sound a little bit like this. Ah, pity foo. Who doesn't phone home?
Fantastic. Yeah, I in my head, I'm like, oh, we've got to do that episode. And I literally, looking at this, I'm like, I don't know which one it is. But Jeremy makes it. That sort of rings a bell that that's the one I was always going to pick. So fuck it, we're going to do that one.
Okay.
I think I've written it down in my book somewhere.
Why is Peep Show so special to you?
Because it came out when I sort of left primary, secondary school and went to college. And it was a sort of perfect indication of all the fucking nihilism and fucking depression that I felt, but in a really funny, comedic, the whole world's going to burn.
And the way it's been shot from that that point of view, I'd never seen a show that had been done like that before.
It's very depressing.
I remember. It's very grounded. Was there 6 seasons?
There is 9 seasons.
At one point, when there were 6 seasons, right, in HMV, they were selling 6 seasons for $5.99.
Yeah.
That's an insane amount. That's really good.
Yeah.
How many episodes per season? That's probably like 20, right?
They're all on YouTube.
No, but I'm saying at the time,
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't have been.
Be honest, there's so many episodes here that I would like to pick because they're so good, but fuck it. We'll do episode 2, series 2. Jeremy makes it. The show is for my money the best sort of sitcom we've produced in a long time. Like as the UK.
What year did it come out?
I think 2003. I'm certain. And it's.
This is just dead air.
It's fantastic. But everyone knows what Peep Show is. You need to be fucking shoved it into your fucking throat.
I've seen a lot of it.
I know, but you need to watch it like it's a fucking religion.
Okay, that can be
it's
done.
It's really fucking quotable. Shit, sugar, fudge, piss, poo, pants, bollocks, for example. It's.
Didn't Steve like Dobby from that? Or the lady they called Dobby?
Well, as we were talking about earlier.
Last question, is it because she looks like Dobby?
No.
She does look like Dobby.
Well, maybe. I don't know. You know what we were saying earlier about the little fucking round robin system we had about who Bannon would like
to be the most? Yeah.
Dobby would be up there as well. If you think Dobby's bad, Sarah Millican is worse.
So if Sarah Millican was not available, we would have gone for her.
Probably Dobby, then Tina Fey, and then, I don't know, Jessica Negri, maybe.
Who's that?
You Google her later. Wink. I just did a wink. So I had to say it because
I love that. Wink. The car is a steal. Wink.
You've been telling me earlier that you've watched a lot of Only Fools and Horses recently.
I have watched a lot of it.
So you watched some Only Fools and Horses. You watched some later ones, some shit ones, good ones.
Yeah.
And the sequel to it,
Rock and Chips. Hey.
So basically, I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Have you watched Arrested Development yet?
In a way.
You're an idiot.
In a way.
You need to watch it.
I know. It's just because I get caught up and I have so many random references to pop culture.
You're watching Rock and Chips.
Right, can I just tell you something, right? My brain kind of works like a pinball machine that's never stopping, right? It's just constantly ping, 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 ping. I am trying to do the podcast and think of something to go with that, right? I'm also caught up with the nostalgia of watching some of the old episodes of what we've done or rediscovering those series. So the odd episode of Steel Game. Then you've got... I'm trying to write my graphic novel. I have 3 other projects that I'm now going to be thinking about in the process of doing because I'm trying to get more work out there.
Mm-hmm, I've been writing stories all week.
We've been talking about that.
I've been writing stories, but I've seen Arrested Development.
Yeah, but you cheated because you've watched it years ago.
I guarantee...
That's like me going, well, I've seen all the episodes of Vicar of Dibley.
I could watch the whole thing before you watch it.
No.
I could watch it all again before you watch it.
Yeah, but then that's like... What, is it a short series?
They're only 20-minute episodes.
Well, yeah, but staying up late doesn't count because I've got work in the morning.
So, shut up. Just watch it on the way to work.
Right, well, that's a good shout. Maybe I'll do that. But I don't have a subscription to anything. I don't have Netflix.
Well, you're going to have to get Netflix or hijack our Netflix.
Okay, I'll just do that then. But then I'll feel bad.
I don't give a fuck.
Right, well, how much you pay for it?
Don't pay.
You don't pay for Netflix?
No, don't pay me. Oh, you're asking how much you pay? Yeah, yeah. I think it's like $6.99, $5.99.
For a month?
Yeah. So first month's free. I say they get you, drug dealer.
Brilliant. They always get you on the comeback. So if I give you £2... No. But that means we're going to be down again for this podcast. We're losing a lot of money here, all right?
Yeah.
£33 down each.
You owe me for pizza.
I do owe you for pizza. So, well, technically...
It's too late. Yeah, she's in the boxes. She's going to go nuts. Food envy, proper food envy.
I owe Louis £6.90. No, £6.
£6.75. I'm not going to split hairs. I don't really give a fuck.
No, I'll do it. It's got nothing to do with that. He caught me out because I didn't have any change on me.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I am not a bot.
I am not a crook.
How many Simpsons quotes have we managed to do today?
I don't know. How many can we fit in?
I think we've done
finish?
The most amount of Simpsons quotes ever. To the amount of Simpsons we've spoken about today. So we've spoken more quotes than we have actual Simpsons.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
This is fucking overrun. You know, people don't like a long podcast.
Do they not?
Bannon does. But we're not doing this for one person.
Who doesn't like a long podcast?
We're doing this for three people.
It's free, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, I can't listen to that for an hour and a half. And I'm like, what? I love a long podcast.
I do.
See, I see a podcast that's 3 hours long. I'm like, fucking get it, you cunt.
Brilliant. Well, this is us signing off.
Yeah, Peep Show series two episode two. It's on 4OD and
iTunes.
YouTube and iTunes if you want to pay for it like a cock end. But yeah, we're really gonna have to go.
Tutty buys.
That was a fun one.
It was a fun one.
Russ and Louis Comedy Classics, produced by Russ Elliston and Louis Falls. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter by searching for @RussandLouis. All music by Colour. The intro is jazz bass from the album Killer Colour, and the outro is Neurosis of the Liver from the album Colour the Wind. Both can be found on their website, colour.com. That's CULLAH.com. See you next week. Ever so often I might fall over to the left and to the right. I never could hold on, no matter how hard I try. Stumble, tumble, fumble, maybe next week and maybe next month. Now I know I'm no Picasso, but I feel like a blue soul. Face twisted in my wrist, so